Chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm very excited to have J.C. Rudden on the show today. JC is Director of Cafe System Support Services at Panera Bread and leads Panera's Veterans Networking Group, Panera Salute, whose mission is simply to acknowledge, appreciate, and advocate for Panera veterans and their families. Well, JC, thank you so much for making the time to be on the show today. I'm very excited to have you and for our listeners to hear your story, your tech journey, and all the wonderful things that you are doing. And I'm just excited about our conversation.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, let's just talk a little bit about growing up. What was growing up like for you?
I grew up in South St. Louis. I've been a St. Louis kid my whole life. Dad was a cop. Mom was a teacher. You know, we were Catholic school kids because that's what you did when you lived in South St. Louis. Mm-hmm. You went to church and you played soccer, I guess. Right? So dad was a policeman, so I figured that was my journey. So I did volunteer work with the St. Louis Police Department. I was involved in the Police Explorers. Right? I went to college and got a associate's in criminal justice and went to take the tests with the police academy. Right? That was just sort of what I was expected to do. Right.
Right.
There was a point in time where I had been working security for national supermarkets, and they went out of business. And my dad was working what they call secondary at CPI Corporation, you know, making sure the parking lots were safe and things mm-hmm. like that. And he said, they're hiring for some folks to travel around the country and build studios. CPI owned all the Sears Portrait Studios. So they're hiring to build studios and do some computer stuff. So I went in and I interviewed, and the interview consisted of, do you know anything about construction? And I said, well, I built a broom in my mom's basement. And they said, do you know anything about computers? And I said, I took some classes in high school. And they said, great, here's the keys to a van. We need you to go to Florida for 3 months.
Oh, so, my yeah. goodness. And how old were you?
21, 22, somewhere around there. So that was really my first experience with technology, because we were putting in new hard drives and camera systems, and that was sort of the first digital photography experience.
Mm-hmm.
So as I progressed in CPI, digital photography was evolving. So mm-hmm. I got to be involved in the computing and the photography and the digital stuff, and then the online. You can go online and see your pictures instead of having to wait 2 weeks to see that your little brother had blinked, right? And so that was really kind of the kickoff to
that was the genesis
yeah,
of your
to
journey.
The technology,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
At one point when I was on the road, you know, my dad called and said, hey, your number's been picked. Time to go to the academy. And I said, no, I don't think I want to do that. I'm gonna stick this out and see where we go, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was taken in a different direction.
So how long were you at CPI?
I was there for 10 years, so 95 to 2005.
Okay.
So I did a lot of the help desk, you know, origination. Mm-hmm. That was mm-hmm. when we realized that you've got portrait studios all over the country, and when things break, they need help, right?
Right.
Project management, project engineering. I really got to be on the front lines of, like, digital printing in the studios. So it was fascinating to me because it was all new. I left CPI in 2005 and went to work for Picture People that was owned by Hallmark at the time. And I was in charge of, like, launching their e-commerce where people could buy photos online and things like that. And that was a great experience. I was commuting from St. Louis to San Francisco every week. So wow. I flew out Sunday or Monday morning and flew
Come
home every Friday, right?
Friday.
Yeah, it was a heck of an experience, right? One of the coolest things was we sponsored a NASCAR, right? We partnered with Kodak. And so picturepeople.com was on the back of a race car. And I got to go to a NASCAR event. And I learned a really, really great lesson at that event. So was never a NASCAR guy, right? I'm a baseball kid. I've been a Cardinals fan my whole life. There's a man who's called the wheel man, and his job is to lift the wheels over the wall so that the guys can screw the wheels onto the car and then they can tear off out of the pit. So there's this giant man sitting on a stack of tires with this pink glue, and he was meticulously gluing lug nuts over the top of the holes. And I realized that guy is probably one of the most important things, one of the most important pieces of this entire race, because if he doesn't get it spot on, that wheel doesn't go on. They can't do what they need to do in those 3 seconds they need to be in the pit. And it started to get me to think about the little things and how, you know, you got these super famous race car drivers, but this guy makes that guy what he is today.
Sure.
Right? It was really neat.
There's no small role, really, right, Chasey?
Not at all. Anywhere in the pipeline, right? So that was really interesting. So I ended up leaving. The project really ended with Picture People. And I came back to St. Louis and started working as a contractor for MasterCard and worked on a neat project where you tap your card and you ride the subway, right? And then I moved into being a software development manager and support and things like that. I ended up about, you know, a year and a half before I left MasterCard and moved to Panera, I took a job being in charge of fraud investigations. And I thought, this is it. This is where God's wanted me this whole time.
Right.
I was a kid.
Kind of
I was going to be a cop. Right. Here I am. Now
right.
I'm like this, now I'm like this technology cyber cop.
Right.
Yeah. It all made sense. It all lined up. Right. And through that journey, I realized how far away from the customer I was. I wasn't able to do things that directly helped my dad with his card and his wallet, right? It was MasterCard is so big and there's, you know, so many banks that are customers and so much technology. And I realized what my real calling was to serve people, to be closer to people. And that was the connection that I needed to make. And so an opportunity presented itself at Panera and I jumped on it. And the rest is history. It's been the greatest almost 6 years of my career. And just a quick nod to John Meister, because without John's support
leadership
and trust sort of in the vision of what we wanted to create, there's no way that we could have done it, right? And that's a big risk on John's part as well, because what we committed to was not just changing a help desk, right? We needed to change the culture. We needed to change what we did and how we served people and how we served each other.
So John was at MasterCard and left and went to Panera. And then, like you said, the rest is history. When you were that young man at 21, traveling, setting up these CPI labs and studios, did you have any idea where your journey was going to take you? You had no idea.
None whatsoever.
Couldn't see what the future was going to hold.
I really just kind of enjoyed what I was doing in the moment. I was a young man. I had per diem and I had hotel and I had, you know, a van, and me and my partner were just cruising through Florida. And and then they sent us to California on jobs and they sent us to New York. So I was traveling the country, right?
You were loving life.
Oh, man.
Living the dream.
Really was.
That's amazing, though, because just giving you that opportunity started you on a whole different journey in this tech journey. So let me ask you this. I'm sure you became a software development manager. You did things that weren't necessarily things that you'd done in the past. So how did you navigate that, JC? I mean, did you get some formal training from MasterCard, or was it all learning on the job? I mean,
so from the digital photography aspect of things, that really helped me to understand computing and processing, moving into the e-commerce, you know, launches, really helped me to understand all of the things there. But I really learned more trusting the people that were way smarter than me, right? The people that really knew, you know, the .NET code that we used for Picture People, I was the guy that would say, look, help me to translate this, right? Help me to understand, you know, you're speaking a different language in .NET. Help me to understand what the objective is, and then maybe I can help to translate that into clear requirements, or I can put some thought into what the customer journey might be if we use this. I honestly don't ever think I'm the smartest guy in the room. And I think if I am, I'm probably in the wrong room, right? It was a lot of trust in the folks that had made that what it was.
So important. You can't accomplish, can't have any success, just one person. You know, it really does take many people. And I love your story about, what's his official title? The wheel man?
In NASCAR. Yeah, the wheel
man. I love that, you know, and just putting the glue on that's amazing. I love that story. So let's segue into then what you're doing today with Panera, and you are in an amazing company. We're very grateful and blessed that they're an awesome client of ours. We love Panera. Where I always say we're a partner and we're also a really good patron. I just had Panera yesterday. I love Panera.
That's one thing that I think everybody loves about Panera is anywhere you go, when they find out you're from Panera, everyone says, oh, I love the whatever
it is, right?
And it's so great to hear someone always says something positive about Panera. They may trail off into, you know, well, there's this too.
Right.
But there's always, it always starts with the bread or the soup or something that they enjoy.
Mine is the autumn squash soup right now. I love it. I could eat it every day, and I love Fuji apple salads. So speaking of, I think that's what is really cool about Panera. There is so much of life, isn't there, JC, that's focused around food. And you guys have really focused on the customer experience. And I think you even say it's like coming home. Talk a little bit about that, the homage, the bread homage at Panera.
So the bread homage is something that is truly special. Whenever we have a meeting, we ask someone to give a bread homage. It would be them looking back at their career, telling their story, but making those connections to bread, right? So lots of stories about people who came from different countries and they were poor families, but they always, you know, mom always found flour to be able to make fresh bread for the family, right? Or, you know, mom's recipe or fresh rolls at Thanksgiving. The neatest ones for me are the ones where people remember Panera being on their tables, right? They would go to Panera and they'd pick up a fresh loaf of what their favorite bread was, and that's what they would serve at their families. It's just fascinating how it seems like when you ask someone to give a bread homage, they can always tie a story back to a bread or back to the simplicity of bread, right?
Right.
The few ingredients, but makes families really come together and sit at the table. That's the first thing that's on a table when you go to a restaurant. It's the first thing they give you.
That's the first thing they bring you, right? Well, I told you, you know, I'm from Kentucky. Greg and I are from Kentucky originally. And at our house, it was a skillet of cornbread every single night. Now, the entree may change, the vegetables may change, but we had cornbread every night with sweet tea. I look back on those memories very fondly. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with JC Rudden. Let's face it, the future is mobile. There's a good chance that you are listening to this show right now on your phone. Have you explored how you can move your business mobile too? Our mobile apps team at Technology Partners makes it their mission to move our clients into the hands of their employees and customers and change their business processes to meet the demands of their users. Let's work together and build a dynamic mobile app for your team. Go to tpi.co/mobile apps and get the conversation started about how we can help you get your new application off the ground. Let's talk a little bit more about bread. When I think of bread, I think of warm rolls and warmth. And I want to talk about the culture because you guys call it the Panera warmth. And you guys really, truly have spent a lot of time on the customer experience. And when people come into a Panera and that warm feeling that they feel like they're coming home. And you guys have a fairly new CEO, right?
Since beginning of April, yeah.
Niran Chaudhary.
Yep.
From
Krispy
Kreme. And you said before that, he was at Yum.
He basically ran the operations in India for Kentucky Fried Chicken, which to me is fascinating that he grew that business because I I want to say 50% of the population is vegetarian. So for that to be successful is absolutely amazing, right?
Right. So. But I know he talks a lot about growing people. I know that this is at the heart of what you're about to.
Without a doubt.
Right.
Yeah. So Naren actually recently started a family tree award where he recognizes people in the field, you know, general managers or district type managers who have grown people into different roles. So it's definitely a passion of his that that's important to him. It's really important to me, and that's really what has been the biggest blessing for me at Panera is to have the opportunity to grow people, right? So we're in charge of cafe operations services, which is a fancy word for we're a help desk. We are responsible for managing and maintaining and troubleshooting all of the hardware and software and things that are in our cafes. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy for your traditional help desks to be a stereotype, right? Did you reboot it? Did you turn it off and on, right? That's your stereotypical help desk kind of stuff. We've actually taken a different approach. And what we ask our technologists to do is to imagine that the cafe manager that they're speaking to is looking at three of their loved ones. So it's a way for us to connect our persons on the phone to the ultimate customer, right? So by helping this general manager with whatever technology issue they have, they're actually assisting their mother, their brother, their sister, whatever else, right? And so it helps to keep us grounded in what's truly important, right? The friction that occurs in cafes isn't just affecting that general manager or that cafe associate. It could potentially be affecting our customer, and that ultimate customer is, I'm an ultimate customer, right? I want to, you know, I want to have a great experience when I go into a Panera.
So am I.
Right. So when I want my bagel, right, I don't want to have the POS slow down. You know, we want to get in and we want to get out. It's important for us to connect ourselves back to that journey, right? The other thing that I think has been so great about Panera is we're very intentional about thinking about that journey. So when we're writing software, when we're creating new tools, when we implement the kiosks, for example, 5 or 6 years ago, we didn't just throw up kiosks in a cafe because that was the new cool thing to do. There was a lot of thought behind that, a lot of thought leadership, a lot of walking through what the customer would experience.
There's customer journey.
Without a doubt. What is it when I go into a cafe? What does my journey look like? And then how would my journey be different? And it's so easy for people at Panera because everyone's gone there. Everyone in St. Louis has been to St. Louis Bread Co.
Sure.
Right? So what does your journey look like in St. Louis Bread Co.? And if I put this computer in front of you, what's the journey look like now? Does it change? Does it change for everyone? Does it change just for you? Is it better? Is it worse? There's also some times when we've been so intentional about thinking about the cafe's journey that we've missed thinking about the cafe associate's new journey with this technology, right? When we put kiosks into a cafe, we're looking at the customer journey and it's going to be great. But what did it do to that kitchen staff that's now got 2 times more orders that are hitting the line, right? So it's really helped us to even focus more on everyone's journey in a Panera, from customer to cafe associate to baker. It's an intentional part of our day-to-day life.
Well, you just set that up very well, because now I want to talk about innovation and innovation around the customer journey. And you and I have talked about this, and you guys are doing the hackathons internally. I bet you there are some listeners out there that are thinking, well, we would like to do a hackathon. How does that work? I know your hackathons have always been focused around the customer experience.
Absolutely.
So talk about how you started and give some coaching to those out there that may be going, well, we would like to do something like that. What does it look like?
The best part about our hackathon is we actually started the hackathon understanding that the people who are innovating, our coders, our customer service folks, our cafe operators, everyone has these amazing ideas, but they have a job to do. And so there's not a lot of opportunity for them to really be creative and sure. to get things done.
Right.
So just creating the space for our associates to be creative, to sort of implement their ideas, right? To even implement and fail, just to see what can and can't be done. Mm-hmm. It was really born out of that innovation, mm-hmm. not necessarily out of we need to make sure we're doing things for the cafe and we need to be on the cutting edge. So again, starting there, starting with that customer, starting with that associate, it really has grown into this phenomenally innovative event where we have our vendor partners involved. We've got, you know, senior developers, we've got junior developers, we've got cafe operators that all come together for new ideas. And we've implemented a number of them in our cafes and in our technology. People are excited about it, mm-hmm. especially developers. Mm-hmm. You give a developer a design document and then they bang out code and they pass it off and they're, okay, QA, go test it, right? That's the life cycle of that developer. But to give them that creative space to really reflect back on why they started getting into coding and create something new and to do something innovative and exciting, it really energizes the team. Mm-hmm.
Something that makes a difference. I think one of the tenets of the way that you guys have done it too, JC, is it's a cross-functional. And you'd mentioned that cafe operators, it's not just the developers sitting there. It is a cross-functional team.
Absolutely.
So then the people that are closest to the customer can say to that developer, here's an idea, here's something that I see that we could do. And then I can see that developer going, well, here's what we could do. Here's how we could solve that challenge or,
absolutely.
You know, make that improvement. So you guys have, what, maybe 15 teams, something like that? Or is it more than that now?
I think we're coming up on 25 teams.
25 teams.
Yeah,
and is it done over a weekend? I mean, how do you carve out that space?
It's over a weekend. So depending on how big it gets, we'll start on a Wednesday afternoon, and there will be people that will stay through the night, and they'll code, and they'll build, and they'll design, and then you know, Thursday or Friday, depending on how big it is, you know, in the afternoon, everybody does their presentation.
So is there a panel of judges?
There is, yeah. So John Meister, of course, is you rarely see John giddy, but this is one of those times where John's really giddy.
Really
because,
excited.
Oh, man, just the ideas and the things that come out of this, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things that came out of the hackathon was Alexa voice ordering. That's something that was just recently put up on Amazon's site mm-hmm. about the new Alexa-enabled headphones are coming out. So you can order Panera without ever taking anything out of your ear, right? Drive-through technology. It's just a number of things mm-hmm. that have come out of that. So anyway, so John's giddy.
Yes.
And
do you
it's
have any
John
out,
and a number of VPs. Absolutely.
Outside
we have some of our
judges as well. Okay.
Without
mm-hmm.
a doubt. We have some of our vendor mm-hmm. partners that'll be on the panels, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of our executive staff. We've brought in a number of our operators, you know, our senior operators who get to see a lot of these ideas. It's just really a wonderful event. And again, your teams get excited about that stuff. They get fired up and unbelievable ideas, things you just don't have the time to think about that people mm-hmm. come up with. It's a testament to everyone's innovation, but also how much they care about that journey, right? How much
right.
they really care about the customer journey, the cafe journey, making things easier on the cafe.
Mm-hmm. So we've already talked about growing and caring for people, but you believe that that is something extra that every leader needs, right? Is caring about people and being willing to invest.
Everything we've talked about starts with a person. Some of the new buzzwords, we talk about AI and we talk about machine learning and even those things, they start with people.
Mm-hmm.
The hackathons, they start with people. You can energize a person by giving them opportunity more than anything else, raising their pay, giving them more benefits. You energize a person by giving them opportunity. To give them those opportunities, I think as a leader, you risk losing them. So if I try to create the space for a young help desk person, you know, just out of college, let's say, we give them opportunity to succeed. We recognize them for their success. We maybe convert them to an employee, and then we move them into a level two or a level three. Or we've created hope for that person. We've
right.
created opportunity. And at each level, they continue to grow and they continue to learn on their own. We have converted or hired on average of 46 people a year for the last 5 years. And for me to be able to say that I've changed the lives of that many people.
It's true.
It's yeah, and, it's amazing.
And, right, and that's what floats your boat, isn't it, JC?
1,000%.
Yes.
But we have to start with being genuine, right? Mm-hmm. It's easy for people to see through the, oh, you only care about Panera, or you only care about how many calls I take, or you all. For us to really, really grow people and to create that true culture of warmth that we have at Panera, you have to care genuinely about them, which means as a leader, you risk losing it, right? They may find a better opportunity at another organization.
Sure.
But that's okay if I care genuinely about that person.
Right. Them being their best self. Well, there is a risk there because you're making them more marketable as you're doing that. But listen, you know, you're creating this warmth and this culture where they're going to want to stay, you know, hopefully.
Sure. So. And if not, hopefully they've learned the importance of creating that space at another organization.
For someone else, too.
Absolutely.
Sure. The gift that keeps giving. That's wonderful. So, JC, we are a baseball town, but you were involved in something called the World Baseball Marathon.
Yes.
What is that?
Put simply, it's an event that we do about every couple of years now that is 54 crazy individuals that play baseball for ridiculous amounts of time. So back in 2006, a friend of mine, Chuck Williams, was doing whatever he does on the internet, and he finds out that the longest baseball game ever played, you know, was 24 hours long, 24 hours straight. He says, well, we can play longer than that. So he gets a group of guys together. We've all played baseball together for years. And he says, let's play baseball for 36 hours and let's see if we can raise a little money for, you know, boys club. So they did. And they ended up raising like $60,000 and were able to put a scoreboard at the boys club in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. A few years later, Chuck finds out that someone beat the record, played longer than 36 hours, probably something like 36 hours and 5 minutes. Right? And Chuck says, well, that's unacceptable. This is St. Louis. We're a baseball town. We're going to do this again.
We got to hold the record.
So Chuck asks me if I, you know, if I'd help out, if I'd play. Certainly, absolutely. So in October of 2009, we played baseball out at Rascals in O'Fallon for 48 hours. So it's 20 guys on each team. You kind of split into two squads and you rotate in, but the game can never end, right? Guinness has certain rules. Well, we ended up raising over $100,000 for Cardinal Glenn and Children's Hospital at that time. We thought, we're kind of onto something. So 2012, they didn't actually get the world record at the time because there were some paperwork issues. Guinness is pretty strict, but they raised $100,000 for Backstoppers. 2013, we raised $100,000 for Joplin Tornado Relief. We've raised money for the Mighty Oaks Heart Foundation with Greg and Becky Ortell. We've raised, you know, almost $100,000 for Mission Continues, which is a veterans advocacy organization. And then just this past May, for the first time, we got to be a part of doing something that was going to be tangible, right? Normally, it's just raising money and it goes to the organization. Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital and Siteman Cancer Center for Kids here in St. Louis found out about the event and approached us after our previous event and said, if you do it again, we'd like to be involved. They were building a facility at Children's Hospital for MIBG treatment. So I might have that backwards. It might be MIGB. But the MIBG is a targeted treatment of radiation for neuroblastoma, which is an adolescent cancer. There isn't a facility in St. Louis, so Children's Hospital wanted to make one here in St. Louis instead of having to ship kids out, you know, to Memphis or wherever
St.
else.
Jude.
We were kind of the tip of the spear of that project. Well, it turns out within, you know, within days or weeks maybe, it became obvious they didn't need us anymore because people were just throwing money at the project. So now at Children's Hospital, there is an MIGB facility where kids can get their treatment. It's 7-inch lead line thick rooms. The window overlooks the park. There's an ante room where the parents can stay. It's like a hotel room and they can look in and see their kids while they're getting the treatment. And
the seed money really came from what you guys were doing.
Yeah, it was really amazing. It was really more of the effort of, hey, these guys are playing for this purpose. Did you want to join in, right?
That is
so
phenomenal.
56 guys playing baseball for, I think we played for 83 hours in May,
this past May.
So don't ask me anytime soon if we want to do it again, but, you know, probably in 2 years we'll think of something else.
Very innovative. JC, is there something that you're involved in right now that you want to talk to the listeners about and how they can get involved. And I think I know what you're going to say here, which is awesome, but talk to us about that if you
will. Well, to give the pitch, honestly, I've been really excited about the TechLX, more so from the perspective of it's really a community outreach opportunity to be able to embrace and lean into the fact that we in St. Louis really are a technology hub, and there are some phenomenally brilliant people working in the technology industry. To be able to reach out to new companies that might consider St. Louis, to be able to reach out to startups that are going to consider St. Louis as an option, and to be able to tell them that we have a network of people that are dedicated to sharing information, to growing people. And please come to St. Louis and you can tap into this expertise, right? When you're talking with companies like Ameren and Panera and MasterCard and Express Scripts and Bayer, the names just keep going and going. To offer that to people that want to come and want to be a part of this city that I've loved my entire life is really just a great, unique opportunity. And I'm excited to be a part of it. I'm excited to have been asked to be a part of it. And it really does feel more like an opportunity to give back to St. Louis, to my hometown, but also to kind of be a part of that technology innovation culture that is just booming here in St. Louis.
So what JC's talking about is the technology leadership experience that Technology Partners launched in June in partnership with Willett & Associates out of New Hampshire. And if you want to know more about this, so this is for rising stars in organizations to be a part of this. But if you would like to be a mentor, if you'd like to know more about the TechLX, you can go to our website, technologypartners.net, and click on TechLX, and you can get more information on how you can get involved. But JC, thank you so much. So JC put his hat in the ring to be a mentor for some of the participants in the program. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't work without people like you, JC, willing to invest in the next generation of leadership, tech leadership.
That.
Well, very good. Well, this has just been so much fun having you on the show. And so thank you so much for making the time. Thank you for your partnership. We love Panera as a client. So thank you guys for entrusting us to help you with your technology needs.
Certainly. Really had a great time. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.